Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey still joined by Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. They join us every Friday afternoon in Hour 2. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL and at Will Stewart TSL. Let's dive back into basketball for a second. I thought Buzz's reaction, I guess his answer to the first question of the night. You were in the press room on Wednesday night, weren't you?
Took off before Buzz got there because he had taken so long to get there.
All right,
it had started snowing, and I have a rear-wheel drive V8, man.
I don't want
to get stuck.
I know you do.
So I took off before.
Well, then the gist of it is this, if you haven't seen it, it's just, you know, Mike Barber of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, you know, asked him a very simple question. He said, Buzz, we just spoke to Jalen. Jalen said that he felt he was fouled on that final possession in regulation, that he should have gone at the free throw line. Do you feel the same way? And Buzz just kind of looked up at him, and it was just really deliberate, slow-rising, calculated answer where he says, I have four kids at home. The oldest is 13. As the steward, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's pretty close. As the steward of those children, it's my responsibility to teach them what's coming in the world. So I'm not going to answer that question. And I thought it was a fascinating answer to a really, really simple question. And I presume what he meant by that was, you know, Jalen needs to shut up and stop blaming other people. Mm-hmm. You know, was he fouled? Sure. Is there anything that will come of him pointing that out? No. You know, so be accountable, be quiet. You know, the play was executed to perfection. You know, the inbounds, all of it. Shot just didn't go in. And so that's what I took from Buzz's statement. And it's not even so much that one statement was just, you know, it's worthy of 10 minutes worth of conversation. It's just, that's kind of who the guy is. You know, that was sort of him in a nutshell, I thought.
It's funny you bring that up because I read something just literally an hour ago in the ACC Sports Journal. It was written by a guy named Sean Crest who was talking about Dean Smith. And he said, Dean, at the end of every practice, you know, who knows if this is true or not, Dean Smith coached, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
At the end of every practice, he'd get the team together and he'd ask them a question about something that he had taught them. He'd pick a player out and ask him the question. If the player got it wrong, everybody would run. Sometimes a player would get it right, and Dean would say, no, that's wrong, and he'd make them run.
Yeah.
And the point he was trying to make was life is not fair. Sometimes things are out of your hands. You do everything right,
yeah,
and it still gets taken away from you. So that was an interesting way to teach kids. It doesn't really matter what you answer. You do your best and get it right, but things still might not go your way.
Yeah. There was a big article about Jimmy Butler last week, and it talked about at the end of the boot camp when he was at Marquette, and he actually ran through the bottom of his shoe. The bottom of his shoe came off and his foot was sticking out, so he didn't make his time. And Buzz was like, oh, you didn't make your time. And he's like, Coach, what are you talking about? My shoe broke. Buzz was like, no excuses. You're not going to have any excuses when you're playing basketball. Not going to have any excuses when you get out in life.
Uh-huh.
Not going to enable you, Jimmy Butler. Go get another pair of shoes and make your time.
And do it again.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why Buzz has so much player turnover, because I don't think a lot of guys can handle that.
Yeah, it's intense.
It is intense.
It's intense.
But at the same time, long term, if you're the type of player who can deal with that, it's going to help you long term as a person and fighting through adversity and things like that. And those are the type of guys that Buzz wants.
I agree with that. You just don't hear it as much anymore.
You don't hear, like
Calipari's not saying that. You know what I mean? You don't hear that from Patino. And I'm not. I don't mean that to say, well, these are lesser men, lesser coaches. I'm just saying it's uncommon is what it is.
I think they don't have to because they have – I mean, Calipari has half the lottery on his team, right? So I don't think he has to coach them like that. Buzz knows he's not going to recruit guys like that at Virginia Tech. He has to get a different type of player. He wouldn't get to recruit guys like that at Marquette. He has to get a different type of player and win in a different type of way than just pure talent. Yes, you have to have a certain amount of skill and everything like that, but you have to put in the work. You have to be good in adversity and things like that, and that's the type of player he tries to build.
Yeah,
and if you buy into the Virginia Tech mindset, you know, kind of group psychology here, blue collar school, underdog, yeah, blah blah blah. You know, that's what makes Buzz a good fit for Virginia Tech, is that he'll get there through the effort of his guys and through his own effort.
Playing for him has to be the most trying but the most rewarding experience of a lot of these kids' lives.
Yeah,
that's the best way I know how to describe it. I mean, it has to be among the most trying time of your life but the most rewarding time. You know, the most rewarding, I guess, accomplishment. My best friend growing up ended up taking an academic scholarship to Virginia Military Institute. He went to VMI, and he would come in on the weekends whenever he could come back, and we'd hang out and, you know, do all the things we did in high school. And I was at Virginia Tech, and he was at VMI, and he said, God, I hate it, man. It's awful. You know, he went through, the rat phase. Line. Yeah, they went through the rat line, and, he would tell me stories about, you know, being out in the snow at 5 a.m. with barely any layers on, you know, and they're out there doing drills and stuff, and how miserable it was. And I'll never forget the week that he graduated, that he and I, we went out for a beer, and he said, I heard it the first week I showed up on campus, and I didn't really get it until I got closer to graduation. He said, VMI is a great place to be from, not at. So I'm not going to go that far. It's not that bad at Virginia Tech, but it's just that's, you know, I kind of get that feeling with Buzz where you're going to earn every ounce of sweat, every drop of blood, everything. You nothing's a freebie in his program is the sense I get.
I was looking through the stats today comparing the number of starts, and you know, there've been so many different starting lineups this year. And somebody asked a question for my Q&A, predict the starting lineup this year. And I said, I don't think you can predict a starting lineup next year because look at this. And I went through the number of starts each player had, and it's different for every game. And Ahmed Hill has started more games than anybody else on this team. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think so, but he has because he plays the hardest and he gives the same effort level and practice every single day. And that's the type of player Buzz likes to recruit. So that's why he started more than anybody else. And that's the message ultimately he's trying to get across to these guys, because Jalen Hudson's talented, but he's only started 3 games. Yeah. I think everybody knows why at this point. And, I asked Jalen the other night after the game. First, I asked Devin Wilson. I said, what does Jalen have to do to play this well all the time? And Devin Wilson says, he just got to stay in attack mode. And I asked Jalen, I said, would you agree with that? And he was like, I would agree with it 100%. And then he said, I need to play harder and things like that. So he knows it. He knows it. But
which probably makes it a million times more frustrating for Bud.
Well, what
Buzz, excuse me.
What Jalen needs to be careful about is that you never know when Buzz's switch is going to flip on you. You know, I mean, he'll have patience to, well, isn't it Buzz himself who said, I'm not a patient man?
No, he said it.
Oh, yeah, says it all the time.
And things were going fine with Joey Van Zirgen, and then they weren't.
Yeah. And that one was a head-scratcher because, as we've said before, that was a model citizen for the past 3 years, as best we know.
And you got to remember that Jalen's not a Buzz Williams recruit.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Not a recruit, but evidently the most talented player on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, just quickly, I know Satchel was largely responsible for surrendering 30 points to Jahlil Okafor the other night, but I thought he played pretty admirably, and I thought he played him better than Kennedy Meeks did last week, personally.
I thought he showed a little more assertiveness, particularly offensively.
Yeah.
There was more spacing. You get more spacing when you're playing Duke, so that helps. But you know, I did think he showed a little bit more toughness than he had in the past and things like that.
Go ahead.
Satchel can catch and convert. You know, if he can get to the rim, there were a couple mistakes he made where he telegraphed passes. He was out too far away from the basket, trying to be the guy to deliver the ball, and threw a couple away. But overall, you know, Satchel is what he is. He needs to get better, but it was one of his better games. Yeah,
Virginia Tech nearly beat Virginia in Blacksburg the first time around. They go to JPJ tomorrow. Now, luckily, there's no London Perantes and Justin Anderson. Insofar as I know, I'm not sure about the Perantes thing, but he was pretty busted up. But I would have thought that was a much bigger deal than it ended up being at Wake Forest, too. So, you know, take that for whatever it's worth. I don't know what to expect tomorrow. My initial reaction a couple of weeks ago was, they're going to get killed up there. I don't know what they're going to do.
You know, when you look at the whole season, they have not played well on the road, and they have played well at home. So from that standpoint, they're going to get killed tomorrow.
Pretty cut and dry.
But from the other standpoint is, throw out the Wake Forest game that happened on Wednesday night. UVA hadn't been able to score recently. Without Justin Anderson on the court, they're stuck in the 50s. And if you can keep somebody in the 50s, you have a chance to win the game. So, they beat Wake by, 36 the other day? It was a one-point game 10 days earlier when they played them.
Yeah, at UVA.
At UVA. So, you just never know what's going to happen in college basketball. I don't think Tech stands a great chance to win that game. They're still too limited offensively. Duke is a much different matchup than a better
matchup.
Yeah, well, absolutely. The way they play defense is a much better matchup for Virginia.
Or don't. You know,
or exactly.
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, those two guys, you know, Cook and Jones, and I guess back earlier in the season, Suleiman too, but certainly the two I just mentioned, they were exposed against NC State and Miami in back-to-back games. Yeah. They're just not a great defensive backcourt.
Right.
So you're exactly right about that. We'll see tomorrow. I don't know. 4 o'clock tip, JPJ. Who knows what's going to happen. I want to talk football for just a second. Recruiting, commit, Javon Quillen?
Quillen.
Is that right? Tell me something about him.
You know, he plays quarterback for Hampton, and I think he's got really good film as a quarterback. He's still really raw. He needs a lot of polish. But if he stays on offense, and I would like to keep him at quarterback long term, and you know you would have the luxury of developing him because he wouldn't be asked to start right away, or even as a redshirt freshman or sophomore, because there's plenty of young quarterbacks in this program that you have confidence in right now. So you can slowly develop him. If he goes to the defensive side of the ball, he's probably a safety. If I had to guess, I think he would grow into a safety, but I really like his playmaking ability on offense. I don't want to move him to wide receiver because we just don't have success moving high school quarterbacks to wide receiver. Not in this offense, at least. Not in a pro-style offense where they have to know so much as a wide receiver. It's very complicated for him. So I think it's either quarterback or defense for him. And he grew up a Tech fan, and you always like to see guys – I mean, he grew up a huge Tech fan. You see a lot of these kids say, oh, I grew up a Tech fan. He actually grew up a Tech fan.
Marshawn Williams' cousin? Is that right?
Yeah, Marshawn's cousin.
Didn't Tyrod Taylor play some sort of factor in that recruitment, too?
Just being a 7'5", 7' quarterback.
All right.
Yeah. I don't think they actually know each other. But, you know, you always feel good for the guys who they grew up a fan of a certain school and then they get that scholarship offer.
That's cool. Yeah. I agree. What is it, 6 commitments?
Seven, I think.
That's right, 7.
Technically 7.
That seems like a pretty fair amount this early in the cycle.
Especially when it's supposedly going to be a small class.
Yeah, but you got a couple in there that you're not sure they're going to stick, right? The Pride kid.
It's so early. Yeah.
That's I guess it was Monday because it happened. They got 2 last weekend, and so we came on Monday, and I was like, you know, awesome commitments. It's great. You know, you hope they stick, but it's a year away before they can
see
sign.
You in February, guys.
Yeah. See you 12 months from now because by May, June, the fan base will have forgotten about those guys.
And Tech's first 2 commitments last year ended up decommitting. Ashton White ended up at Notre Dame, I believe.
And the Barnett kid, right?
Marcus Lewis.
Marcus Lewis.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the Barnett kid, too. Yeah.
Did he decommit like 5 times?
So did Marcus Lewis. Yeah. I think Florida State ended up signing Marcus Lewis, and that was like his 4th school. And I don't know. I forget where Barnett ended up. I think he was 3 or 4
I don't even
also.
Remember where he ended up.
Yeah. So with defensive backs, they get that first offer, and it's from Virginia Tech. Then other schools are like, holy crap, Virginia Tech just offered a defensive back. Maybe we should offer that kid.
He can play.
Right. He can probably play, so let's offer him.
Yeah. Torian Gray is both a blessing and a curse in that sense. No doubt about it. Let's take a break. We'll come back one final segment with Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.